the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. With Chris and Casey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. It is... me, Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence, and we are frantically checking our phones to see that it is Monday, December 28th. I didn't check my phones, but I was just laughing.
We checked our brain memories.
Yes, yeah. I was like, tomorrow's the day Kingdom Hearts comes out, which is the 29th of today's.
Oh, some of my friends already have it.
Yeah, yeah. I should have gotten it, and my Target order got fucked up.
Oh,
all
man.
All sorts of stuff. But that didn't mean that I didn't have a Disney kind of day this morning.
Oh.
Can I describe to you?
Sure.
I feel like it's just like such a Disney princess movie thing to like wake up in the morning and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping and like just something interesting is like on the like the waves of air that are blowing into my apartment. And I got the window open and just like the sun is shining and like smiling on me and my day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why when I woke up this morning, why I felt so good about the way I woke up. And you know, just like I felt so spry, I felt so good.
And then what happened?
Then I checked the news, and oh baby, Anthony Davis officially put in his request to be traded from the New Orleans Pelicans.
He put in his 3 months notice.
Oh boy.
Anthony Davis has requested to be traded from the Pelicans. He told them he will not be signing an extension at the end of the year.
Yep.
Did he imply that he would not sign? Or any extension, or he'd be picky about signing an extension?
He implied that he would not sign an extension with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
Because this is the year where they're eligible to offer him the Supermax extension.
Right. Basically saying, don't even bother.
Don't
please trade me before the end of the year.
Bother. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily please trade me before the end of the year, but it's like, you know, trade me now, or like if you wait, who's it good for? Nobody. Like you lose value of the amount of Anthony Davis you're sending out, right? You know, because you send out a year and a half if you send him right now, because that's how much his contract is.
Oh, worth. I'm sorry. His contract ends in 2020.
That's right.
Oh, so this is, he put in his 15-month
notice, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He will not be a Pelican at the beginning of next season, for sure. That's
so
100%
if they wanted
guaranteed.
To, they can make everybody miserable just holding on to him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. If he doesn't get traded by the deadline this year, everybody's just going to be like, oh, come on!
So what is the, tell me this.
Yeah.
This is a subtlety to all this that I didn't understand. What is the Rose rule?
The Rose rule, and you're talking about the rule that allows people to, it's the designated player rule,
uh-huh.
Right? Where you can have a higher portion of the salary if you have hit a certain number of incentives.
Uh-huh.
I believe, however, that only is available for players who are coming off of their rookie contract.
Because something about the Rose rule keeps the Celtics from negotiating with him.
Because both Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are on designated player salaries.
Okay.
So the fact is each team can only have one. And if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Kevin Love was not offered the designated player salary like back when he was with the Timberwolves.
Uh-huh.
Which is why that led him to be able to opt out after that third year of his contract and uh-huh. put them in kind of a bind. So they had to trade him earlier when they should have just, because they were like, well, we don't know if we want to offer Ricky Rubio that instead.
Right.
Which, like, looking back on it, it's like, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that each team, you know, will only luck into one player who's worth spending that on. So,
right.
Like a Giannis, right? A Damian Lillard.
And Austin Rivers.
Yes, Austin Rivers. Definitely worth it. Austin Rivers would not have qualified because they don't give out all NBA teams for coaches' sons. Like maybe if there was like a coaches' sons all NBA team, he'd be on the first.
Second team.
Second team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After like Brent Berry.
After Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. So they are actually unable to trade for.
They can't have another designated player while they still have Kyrie Irving.
Yes. And the, yeah.
But
so,
technically, Kyrie's contract runs out.
It is expected to run out because he's expected to opt out.
They could like let him opt out, try to trade for Davis, and then probably sign Kyrie again or something?
Yeah, yeah. They could even re-sign him before that because designated players are only from your your first contract.
I'm
after
sorry.
Your
if he opts out, then that designated player contract is over.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I read was that this early announcement was Anthony Davis's team trying to give other teams like the Lakers a bit of a head start in negotiating.
Because here's the thing. Everybody is just like really excited for that big old Celtics war chest to get emptied on a player of Anthony Davis's caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, you also hear from his camp that he's like, I don't know. Word on the wind is that Kyrie's not going to stay in Boston, even after he pledged to them.
I also don't, I wouldn't be dying to go play for Boston, honestly.
I mean, of course, neither of us would be dying to go play for Boston. We have very negative opinions of Boston.
Yeah, I have a mildly positive opinion of Brad Stevens, but I don't see that. I don't really, that team is not as good as I thought they would be, basically.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're not a bad destination. I'm just saying they're not the like, oh boy, I can't wait to go play.
Oh boy,
you know,
I can't wait to go play in Boston.
I don't right now see what the big difference would be, aside from all the issues of how to get a player to a certain place.
Yeah,
like Anthony Davis thinking about playing with Boston versus Toronto versus Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they all seem basically the same.
Yeah,
to me,
that'd
be interesting. I don't. I'm sure there's no way he can probably get to the Bucks, but it would be interesting.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's definitely not happening. I mean, you know, because we could go through. And I read an article today that was like, I heard the news. I was like, oh, I got a great idea for the podcast. Why don't we just like trade Anthony Davis to every team? And then I read like three articles that were like, let's trade Anthony Davis to every team. Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, I guess I should have recorded our podcast at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I guess this should be your actual job.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I mean,
well, first of all, do you like this move? Is it a good idea for him to get out?
What does he want? That's the question. Like, because if
he clearly wants to win and play, go to the playoffs more.
Yeah. If he wants to win, then yes, it's a good idea to get out because the Pelicans have not shown him in the like 7 years that he's been there that they're capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Right. They are just, they've been a frustrating team, you know, because they just have not put it together.
Yeah.
And they felt like they've had like, oh, they've been so close. But also, isn't there just something so psychologically torturous about like trying to find a winning team in the same years as Stephen Curry and LeBron? Like as the Super Warriors and LeBron like fight each other 5 years in a row. You know, not 5 years in a row, 4 years in a row. But
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Because I think you can find teams that are, there's a whole chunk of teams that are closer than the Pelicans.
Yes, that is
that
true.
You could argue started behind or ahead of them when 6 years ago or how many seasons has he been in the league now?
It's like, I believe this is his seventh year because so, next year is the end of his 4 year extension. So.
Yeah. So, like, I would say that during the Warriors' reign, I don't think it's been super realistic that, like, that the Spurs would win a championship.
Yeah.
But they're closer than the Pelicans.
That's true.
And it probably would have been more fun to be on the Spurs' playoff runs over the last 7 years than the Pelicans.
I mean, both teams got swept out of the playoffs by the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Pelicans did it. The Spurs did it.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened.
But, you know, I think he'd rather be on what the Raptors have been doing.
Yeah.
Even though they got swept out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, mostly just like winning a game in the playoffs. Like, it took them a long time to win a game in the playoffs because it felt like they were matched up with the Warriors every fucking season.
Yeah. Now, I do think if you were being very crafty about your career, I think you should try to engineer a move to the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because despite the fact that your Eastern Conference is competitive this year, there's like a couple 3 to 4 teams at the top that are, it's still an easier conference.
Yes. Oh, 100%. It's funny, he could go a little west and go to Chicago.
Yes,
in the east.
Yeah, from where he is. They're the most eastern western conference team, I believe, right?
No, the Bucks are a little further west.
East, you mean? Like, who's the farthest to the east? Memphis or...
Oh, sorry. You were talking about the farthest east-west team, not the farthest west-east team.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, don't worry. That's very evident.
I have spent a couple of times when I had a day job, I would sit around and try to realign all the divisions.
Yeah.
And it's just really hard.
Yeah.
Because of teams like Minnesota.
Yeah.
What
a nightmare.
New Orleans. And also because you have, like, you basically have to do, like, a... like a SoCal league or, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, once you get to like Clippers, Lakers, Warriors, and then you just really, you should grab like Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they didn't grab Portland. I mean, probably because the Supersonics were up there in the past. Yeah. And you know, I feel like it would be weird to realign the conferences right now just because they've like, they've been pretty set for a long time. Yeah,
for sure. The only I think it got brought up because of like travel time issues.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the West is so expansive, you know. Yeah. We're not so concentrated like those East Coasters. Yes, a move east.
God, I never even thought about that. An East Coast team, I wonder how many air travel miles.
You can look that up.
LeBron has had versus Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, you can actually look up how much each team travels because they calculate that at the beginning when they do the schedules.
Oh,
they calculate how much mileage each team has. And by they, I mean someone does. And I remember reading these articles at the beginning.
And by the way, I don't count Kobe's helicopter rides.
Oh, no. Those definitely don't count because those are fun.
Yeah.
Right? So he apparently does not want to go to Chicago. Chicago is not a destination he wants to go to.
As you said, he's a little iffy on Boston because of Kyrie's commitment.
Iffy on Boston.
And also, what do you think? I do think it's iffy whether or not Kyrie goes back.
I mean, that is... I feel like trying to prescribe a methodology to anything Kyrie does off the court is ludicrous.
Yeah, because he's not rational.
I don't want to go that far and call him an irrational person.
I think he might run into the ice wall when he's trying to find the edge of the earth.
I think I would say unpredictable is my Kyrie Irving qualifier.
Having listened to, I believe, a full Road Tripping podcast and maybe a full... I've listened to at least two entire podcasts worth of his thought process. I'm on comfortable ground saying that he is not a rational thinker.
Okay.
He, from moment to moment, just really does not want to know what he's talking about. Yeah. And just will, but wants to always sound like he knows what he's talking about.
Oh man. And those people are the worst.
Yeah.
Oh no. I've never like phrased him in that way. I've always just been like, oh, you know, but the people who always want to sound like they're smart, but they don't actually, oh God, those people suck to talk to.
Well, I mean, that's what, when you end up, I don't really...
Those are the type of people that start podcasts.
I really don't think that he... I don't even know if he really believes, like, even when he said it, if he really believed in the flat earth stuff.
Yeah.
I think he just got kind of, like, rhetorically cornered into a thing of just like, well, you know, like, you know...
You heard it here first. Kyrie Irving is the Jordan Peterson of the NBA.
Oh, my God. I was literally 45 minutes ago watching Jordan Peterson
takedown
videos.
Takedown of Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. I mean, I was making my bed.
Okay.
Sitting up straight.
Yes.
And blaming women for sexual harassment.
Good. Yes, of course. Bad.
No.
No. Horrible.
I know this is, I feel confident this will annoy people in our audience, but like two of the people I think I hate the most in this current Thinkiverse are Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris. I think they're just both so full of shit, except that they are kind of against each other because Sam Harris is a devoted atheist and Jordan Peterson is very Christian. So I was watching some debates between.
Got it. I was going to say, I know people who are atheists. I just don't want to talk about atheism. It's just like, it's a total non-starter for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk about Christianity either.
I mean, we don't want to talk about the NHL either. So it's a very similar.
The NHL, the atheists. Favorite league.
Yeah.
Because anybody who watches hockey knows there is no God.
But yes, Jordan Peterson has that affect of just like always wanting to sound like he knows what he's talking about, but he actually doesn't.
Oh God. Oh no. I mean, this is all just reminding me of the time that my I was like catching up with my grandmother after not talking to her for like a little while, just like catching up and her being like, you know, I've been reading this book by this man, Jordan Peterson. I was like, Grandma, no!
Who gave it to her?
Probably my fucking uncle. Anyways.
P.S. Your uncle is Jordan Peterson.
Blood related.
So I don't think, actually, I doubt that Kyrie ever meant any of his quotes to be blown up into anything. My questions are more about like, we'll see. If they go deep into the playoffs, of course, everybody will be like, I love playing on this team. It's great. I'm going to definitely resign.
Yeah.
I have watched a couple Celtics games over the last weeks where I don't think they fit that great. honestly. No. I watched the second half of the Warriors-Celtics game like two nights ago. Did you watch that?
I watched a little bit of it.
So Kyrie is like an elite, ultra elite one-on-one offensive player.
Yeah.
That can beat anybody to the rim. And I think there's a question of like, how far does that take a team in the league today? Because he was also, he had like three turnovers in the last 4 minutes of that game or so, and they were bad. Like, they turned into like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson hitting a three-pointer in a tie game with like 90 seconds left.
Yeah, and like Klay had some really clutch shots at the end of that game.
Yeah, but one of the clutch shots was like somebody poked the ball away from Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Kyrie didn't run back, and Klay was wide open by himself. Like, that is a clutch shot, but also
But that's Marcus Smart's guy, so I don't know.
Yeah, in transition.
I'm definitely blaming Marcus Smart for that, obviously. Like, Kyrie did his thing on offense, and it just didn't work out, and Marcus Smart needs to cover up the problems.
Right. I mean, since it's Marcus Smart's guy, and Kyrie's potentially the first one to back to cover him, he should stop where he is and let Marcus Smart catch up to him.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
You know? Yeah, because otherwise there's too much confusion on the defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Because cross-matching is one of the most difficult things to learn. It's easier to just let a man be open.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's the best defensive strategy.
It's clear.
It's very good.
Because then at least you're like, that's the guy that needs to be guarded as the ball goes through the hoop.
Even if he's open, like, what is still like a 50% chance he's going to make it or miss it, you know?
Yeah.
The ball can either go in or out. That's the commentary you're looking for from the rule of threes. There's only two possibilities, baby.
No, the ball can get stuck on the rims.
God damn it. You're right. I forgot about the wedgies.
That's the wedged balls are the zero and double zero of the roulette wheel.
They're the flipping a coin and having it land on its side of basketball.
That's right. I didn't see, the Celtics had really poor offensive flow in the last 4 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
They did not seem to have any team offensive philosophy. It was a lot of either Kyrie or Jason Tatum one-on-one.
So what percentage of that do you think is just like for the rest of the game, they were fine, right? What percentage of that do you think is like the Warriors turning on their defensive chops in the last couple of minutes and being like, we're going to win this game? Or what percentage of that is like the Celtics not having a crunch time philosophy?
So there was a certain amount of ball pressure being put on by Klay and Steph Curry and Durant, which doesn't seem, it didn't seem like crazy ball pressure. It seemed like sort of like, I don't know. It seemed like it didn't seem like an insane, like this is Nolan Richardson's defensive revolution of but there were also plays where it was just four Celtics kind of staring at Kyrie or Tatum.
Yeah.
And I was confused because I was like, this is not this Brad Stevens, who created an entire offensive philosophy to make Isaiah Thomas almost like an MVP in the league.
Yeah.
Certainly knows how to craft things for the talents that he has.
Yeah.
It's very surprising.
I mean, I think the interesting thing is like, how much crafting do coaches do, right? Because, you know, when you hear about like really good superstar players, you often hear like, I'm just going to get out of the guy's way, right? Yeah. Like, that's how Mike D'Antoni talks about James Harden. That's how all of LeBron's coaches talk about LeBron.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the interesting thing to me is like, is Kyrie that kind of player where, you know, you live with the good and the bad and like, you just got to let Kyrie do Kyrie. Like, I don't know if there's a way.
I think that's possible.
Because, like, you create a system for somebody like Isaiah Thomas, right?
Right.
And make him play up to, you know, third MVP in the league, right? Like, that year was amazing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody like Kyrie comes in who's got that talent already. And you're like, how much molding of that do you do?
Yeah, he can do, without any system, he can replicate 85% of that MVP candidacy year, and with
you
focus,
you just gotta hustle, young blood.
Well, is this a Uncle Drew?
That wasn't Uncle Drew.
But the question is also, how far does that really take you? Because, you know, D'Antoni has never won a championship.
Yeah.
So people love playing for him, but he also hasn't achieved anything when we're talking about rings. And I think I asked this last time about Westbrook, but like, are there situations where it's like you get the most out of Westbrook by letting him go, but does that put a cap on where your team can go?
Yeah, that's tough, yeah. Right? Oof, I don't know.
Anyway, does that mean, if that's, those are the things that make me have doubt about whether Anthony Davis, I'm sure there is a way to fit Kyrie and Davis and Tatum and Horford into an offensive flow, but it doesn't seem really obvious to me.
Yeah.
So, and I believe that Brad Stevens could do it. I just, but it doesn't seem like a no-brainer. Like, he should definitely consider Celtics one of his top destinations.
Yeah, I agree. It feels to me like, I don't see the fit, but also the other thing is you got to think about these teams minus what they give up to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. So it's hard because, you know, you're going to extract a lot of value from a team that you trade Anthony Davis to.
Yeah.
But like, is that value going to be, you know, more than Anthony Davis? No, probably not. I think we've learned throughout history that you really can't trade a superstar for like a great return. You can only trade them for like good returns. Mm-hmm. And that's the best you can kind of hope for. And the, I mean, the
your thing, hope is that you take away pieces that give him more room to operate.
Yeah, that. And, yeah. Yes.
And if you're the team trading him away, you hope that you basically get enough assets to, often what happens is you hope you get enough assets that you can then turn for something else.
Yeah.
Or end up getting a draft pick that you get something good.
Yeah.
Because the, if you look back at the Pau Gasol trade from Memphis, that trade did not turn out that bad for Memphis.
No, in I the mean, end. They got Marc Gasol out of it.
They got, if you look at what all the assets turned into, I forgot at one point, it was like, oh, this is actually decent.
Yeah. They got Kwame Brown. Don't forget. Okay.
Yeah.
One time Kwame Brown, knocked a birthday cake out of somebody's hands in Manhattan Beach. Look it up. It's a story. It's good. Speaking of the team we have not yet talked about in the trade destinations for Anthony Davis, the meat and bones of our conversation tonight. Do the Lakers feel pressured to give up on the youth movement?
They probably feel pressured for sure.
Yeah.
The four youths, people have been mentioning Zubats, but I'm...
Oh, no, we got five youths now.
Okay.
All right.
So they are Ingram, Kuzma, Hart.
You gotta up his value. Zubats, like, and all Lonzo. Every time we say his name, he gets a little more valuable in the ESPN trade machine.
So, by the way, the trade machine's tough to play with because you can't put draft picks into it.
I mean, you can just, like, say a draft pick goes for, but it doesn't have a stock of teams' draft picks.
Yeah, correct. What I mean is, couldn't it, if someone put it into the database, couldn't they have their draft picks and also their, like, don't they have salaries attached to them?
You used to work to it as like a coder.
Yeah.
So like, imagine how old this code is.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's getting into that trade machine. That thing is not making any changes.
They could do it.
Yeah, somebody could.
They
could
put it. What I mean is, they could put it in as a player, like, you know, first name 2008 21, second name second run draft pick,
and then each one would have to link to an ESPN player page called first round draft pick and second round draft pick.
Their CMS better make that stuff automatically.
It's I'm sure it's a fucking nightmare.
Side note, I'm exploring a new CMS called Kirby flat file CMS.
Ooh, K-I-R-B-Y.
yes. Because I'm going to be making some web pages soon, and it's been a while.
Ooh.
Anyway, everyone loves this Kirby CMS. But what I mean is that if, like, I didn't even know what the Lakers draft picks are.
Right now, we have every draft pick.
Okay, so their first round draft pick in 2019.
Yeah.
I guess you don't know what the value of it is because we don't know what position they're in.
Correct.
But you could, I don't know. You could have, I'm just saying, in the trade machine, you could have what that draft pick would be today.
Yeah.
And attach the salary to it that this rookie scale has.
So the salary doesn't count when you're trading draft picks.
Oh.
So that's a no.
So none of your draft picks can get you to that margin where you're trying to.
Correct. Only salaries can.
That's rough. Because it's the hard part of getting Davis is meeting his salary with what the
No, Lakers it's not have. Hard because KCP and Lonzo and Ingram add up to Anthony Davis.
You think they're going to take KCP?
I mean, for salaries, yeah. I mean, he's on a one-year deal. What does it matter?
Yeah. By the way, on the trade machine, his salary has a little negation symbol under it.
As in, you can't trade him without his permission.
What?
He's on a one-year deal that will destroy his bird rights if he's traded, and he has the power to veto a trade if he desires it.
However, he has the same agent as LeBron and Anthony Davis. Yes. So like, he'll probably be...
He can be used to grease the wheels, and they can take him into the back and be like, all right, you got to take a dive on this one. He's like, all right, I'm taking a dive.
He's lucky to have gotten what he's gotten.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. I mean, $30 million over 2 years?
Yeah. He should recognize that.
I mean, yes. Also, like, bow to our God. Well, but, like, also, you know, yes.
Also, Rich Paul's kind of your boss.
Yeah. I mean, that man is the ultimate puppet master.
Oh, man.
He's pulling all the strings, baby.
So... keep talking for a second.
So here's the deal.
Since the draft picks don't matter, now I take back all my reservations about the ESPN trade machine.
Okay. Yeah. Draft picks don't count for salary. They're just like, in the future, they will be held against you based on their slot. If you like draft somebody, that number goes onto your like projected salary cap for the next year. So you can't like sign people above that if you haven't signed your first round draft players yet. Unless you stash them overseas, then they don't count against your cap. So the thing about, the Lakers trading for Anthony Davis, right? It is something that, you know, if you've listened to me on this podcast all year, you know, I got a big old soft spot for our young Lakers. Here's the problem. Those are rose-colored glasses that I'm wearing, right? I love watching our young Lakers. I love watching them play. I think they're great. I think if we get to keep any one of the four and trade the other three for Anthony Davis, it's an automatic yes from me.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. For other players that were about to become free agents, I said no. The reason being that we could just sign them when they're free agents.
Right.
Anthony Davis is not a player who fits on that timeline and is better than all the other options.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you trade significant salary for Davis this year, we'll still have max cap room next year because we get off of the deals of, like, let's say we trade Ingram and Lonzo. We get off of those high value salaries, and that adds to the cap space that we have next year. And can then...
And all of the veteran people are on one-year deals, pretty much.
Yes. So, like, the only people going onto the, like, roster next year would be whatever rookies are left, like, at very small salaries.
Right.
And LeBron and Anthony Davis. And all that together means that there's one more max slot you can finagle some room for. And the only other, like, contract on the books is, like, $3.5 million for Luol Deng.
Uh-huh.
Right. So... If they make this trade now, then they can find a third person to pair, right? Maybe that's something that will lure Klay Thompson down to LA. Maybe that's something that'll take Kawhi and be like, all right, you can't pass this up. Maybe that's something where, you know, Kyrie actually does come to LA and, you know, spouts his theories all along Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
I just can't wait for Kyrie to, like, wear a Shrek costume and just spout conspiracy theories while people pose for pictures with him in front of the Grauman's Chinese Theater.
So I would say, first of all, I'll just for a second, I'll leave Zubats out of this conversation.
Okay.
Of the four young guys.
Yes.
There's definitely no way we're only giving up one of them. Because But for sure, like, if they took, like, Pope, for some reason they traded for Rondo and Ingram, you'd be like, for sure.
Oh, that's an absolute yes, but that's an absolute no from
them. So, I feel like it's going to take three of the kids.
Yeah, that's the word on the street, right? Okay. What's his name? B.A. Turner on Twitter was like, word from the streets is that they'll accept nothing less than Lonzo, Kuzma, and Zubats. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. Great. I mean, this is not me saying... I don't love all these guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hard part. As soon as Kuzma's traded, I'm buying 100 clearance Kuzma jerseys. Like, Kuz mania is my heart. But, like, you know, catch you later, dude.
So first, when we think about the salaries going out.
Yeah.
Kuz
is low. He's like...
Yeah, like, Kuz, Zubats, and Hart are all, like, one-ish million. Sub two,
yeah.
Yeah, so... Even stacking all three of them together doesn't get you that close.
No. The two larger rookie contracts are Ingram and Lonzo, because Lonzo's at like 7 and Ingram's at like 8.
I don't know why in the trade machine Ingram is at 5.75.
Ooh, that's weird.
He is on here at least.
Because he was a two pick. He should.
He's from a year earlier than.
He's Lonzo, from a year right? earlier than Lonzo,
right? But which means his salary should be higher than Lonzo, shouldn't it? Were they both number two picks?
They were both number two picks. He should be a little higher, but maybe the cap went up by so much in the Lonzo year. I don't think so. That just doesn't seem right. But
Brandon Ingram is on $5.75 million this year.
Wow! And then I guess
Lonzo's goes up to 7.2. Lonzo is at 7.4. Goes up to 8. So Lonzo has the highest salary of the kids.
Got it.
So I love Lonzo, but I mean, there is no, Lonzo's my favorite of the four. I like him a lot, but I mean, I also would be like, yeah, we're trading. Like, there's no, you know what? Good luck down there. And I love Julius Randle too. You know, I like D'Lo to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Chris Mim.
Yeah. I've liked almost every Laker there ever has been except Karl Malone.
And Smush Parker.
Even Smush Parker, I'm like, wow. I'm fine.
That's big of you.
I don't mind Smush Parker. So tell me what you would put together to try to get him from the Lakers.
I mean, it's just like, come eat at our table.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come enjoy the bounty. Okay, how about this?
What would be too much? Because actually, the numbers work where they were just like, give us Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, and Zubats? Like,
I think that does work. So that's 12, 15.
That is by 16. By themselves, those five are not enough.
Damn. Salary. All right. Then
you have to have 2.3 million more.
Okay. So
if you threw in, let's say you threw in
Michael Beasley.
Well, can they trade, like, Zvi?
They could, but he's not enough.
Oh, right. They could literally be like, give us Zvi and Mo Wagner and
Isaac Bonga.
Yeah. So they need... Yeah, let's say they take... I can't imagine why they would. Let's say they take Beasley. So... And this trade works. Okay, so if the Pelicans come and say, well, this is who we want. We want Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, Zubats, and Beasley. For Anthony Davis.
What do I say?
Yeah.
I say, could we try something else? but then ultimately, if that's the only thing they'll take and they will take it, then yes.
Yeah. That's a tough one because, first of all, I think that the Pelicans would probably be very happy with that because actually this kind of trade,
on that trade, we send no draft picks.
Yeah, which is good.
That's my stipulation. That's my line of the sand.
Oh, sure. This is what I would say about this trade. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking my way into why this might be the solution.
Okay.
Because this says that the Pelicans don't have to figure out which of the young guys is the good one.
Ooh, they just take them all.
And neither do the Lakers.
Nobody needs to figure out if they're any good.
And nobody needs to look bad after the fact. Having kept Kuzma or sent Hart or kept this one or that one, and one of them becomes an all-star.
Okay.
So psychologically, this might be the most palatable one for both sides because they're just like, you know what? We punt on our team. Give us six guys. You get the top three player in the league.
Yes.
And you guys start over too. You got LeBron. You have Anthony Davis. You got a bunch of other veterans.
Yeah.
Fire your coach, draft some new people, start over next year.
Yep.
And I think to a certain degree, it wouldn't be that hard to sell Lakers fans on this process of the last 3 years has been about getting Davis.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, once that trade happens, we get to sign the other superstar.
Right.
And his name is Carmelo Anthony. Like, I mean. It's so funny how all the things have happened this year to lead to, if this trade happens, Carmelo Anthony ends up on the Lakers.
Well, the other crazy thing is that, and why you might want to do this, is that Anthony Davis is 25.
Yeah.
So.
Right? And LeBron James is only 26.
That's right.
He's 23.
Yeah. That's his age.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that this doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah.
You get to keep one of the Lakers.
Ooh. Which one do I keep? You know the answer for me.
You mean emotionally?
And like emotionally and courtly.
I would say on the court.
You're keeping Lonzo.
I'm not sure. I know. Ooh. you're going to keep Kuzma.
I'm keeping Kuz.
Yes.
The reason I'm keeping Kuz is because I think the guards that we could get would be better than Lonzo.
I mean, the point guard position is a deeper position in the league.
Yeah.
So you can find a serviceable point guard from almost anywhere.
Yeah.
I still don't know what to think about Brandon Ingram.
Oh, that's maybe point Ingram tearing up the Suns is what got you going.
No, I don't know. I'm not convinced about him as a point guard.
Okay.
I often think to myself, why isn't anyone stealing the ball from him? I often think like the only reason they're not is because the guy guarding him isn't used to guarding this kind of action.
Got it.
And that if we really committed to him as a point guard, sure, he could post up Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
But Kemba Walker, if he wanted to hound him from the baseline, could probably generate 3 turnovers a game on his dribbling.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not convinced of that. But Ingram is such a weird player because he has moments where it's like when they lost to the Rockets.
Yeah.
He kind of dominated that overtime.
Yeah.
And he played really well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They've all been inconsistent.
Such is the nature of young basketball players.
Yeah, except Luka.
Except Luka. 35, 12, and 10.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Yikes.
And then Trae Young was like, I still think jury's out on who's better. It's like, no.
I mean, of course he's going to say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the jury's not out. It's just like they're at lunch and they just need to come back and say what they feel.
So, no, I'm actually not convinced that I would keep Lonzo.
Okay.
I think that...
Do you think maybe the fact that he's shooting 15% from the free throw line has caused you to feel a little bit this way?
No, that I just don't understand. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand how someone who presumably has a good work ethic... There's only a couple explanations for it. And unfortunately, one of them might be that he is kind of a head case.
Okay.
And that his lack of aggression in games in general might speak to kind of my worry about him before, which is like, I think he really likes playing basketball more than winning.
Yeah.
I think that he like, cause whenever you see him play, all of those like social media posts, like, you know, at 24 Hour Fitness or, he seems to love that.
Yeah.
For
the love of the game.
I honestly think that that might be part of it for him. And that once competition starts getting winched into the situation that I don't even know if he's cracking. I wonder if he just has like less interest in it.
It's such an interesting thing.
Like there's a good chance that if LaMelo develops similar physical gifts, which I saw him dunk a few times.
Ooh.
LaMelo is a cocky, like arrogant, player, alpha-ish player. That if he ends up with physical gifts that match, that he actually might be a more successful NBA player. My main concern about Lonzo is that I really think he's a great basketball mind in terms of vision of the court, and he seems so much fun to play with. I think his style matches better with LeBron's than Kuzma's.
Yeah. Although
Ingram too.
Here's the thing. I love watching Kuz and LeBron play because Kuz is really good at cuts.
Yeah.
And LeBron finds him often on those.
Yeah.
And it's been tough because Kuz has had to like take over as like the guy when LeBron's been out. And he can do that one out of every 4 nights.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think LeBron and Ingram played that well together.
No, I don't think so either.
One of the things about Kuzma is I think he's a little bit dumb basketball IQ wise.
Okay.
I have seen him do kind of boneheaded plays.
Got it.
Lovable, but boneheaded.
Okay.
I've seen Josh Hart do the same thing, but
yes.
Where I have seen Lonzo do many, many smart plays.
Yeah.
And that will sort of always get me to like somebody, even if they might not be as good a player.
Yeah. That's fair.
So anyway, in terms of Lonzo's style, I guess my concern about keeping him is I'm not sure that his his style, similar to the other players you talked about, is a style that doesn't just assert itself into a flow of any team. Mm-hmm. It kind of needs a system designed around it. And I don't know that in this modern NBA, there is going to be a team that does that.
Yeah.
And even if they do, I don't know how far they'll go. So
there's no telling how far they'll go. I can see upon the edge of the water.
Yeah.
Long as I can remember.
Like, we're in.
Never really knowing why.
We're in mostly a score first point guard era.
Yeah.
And Lonzo is not that.
Yeah. No, he's not. And so, it just has not been his game so far in the NBA.
No, and I don't know that it ever will.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that leaves you. Because I think that, to your point, I think to find a decent score first point guard probably wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. But also, like, who the fuck needs a score first point guard when you got LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Well, that's what I think, that Lonzo might be a great fit with those two.
Yeah.
Also, it's nice to have a guard that rebounds.
Yeah. Oh, he's good at it. And so is Josh Hart. They're both good rebounding guards.
Tell me, what's this I've heard about now? Giroux's possibly available too.
I mean, of course he's available. As soon as that came through, it was like, all right, well, if he doesn't want to be here, I don't want to fucking be here either. It's just like, what, I'm going to go down with fucking Etuan Moore
and Julius Randle.
Yeah, Julius, I love Julius, but like, yeah, of course Drew, like, if they trade Anthony Davis, he's going to want out immediately. But like, he also has no leverage because he's signed there for even longer.
Ooh, and he has a mammoth contract.
He's got a big old honking contract.
$26 million for 3 years with his own option for the fourth year.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he earned it.
Although, crazy enough, he's making more than Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
That's just like the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, percentage of cap contracts.
I mean, maybe he wants to stay so he can play.
He doesn't want to play
with Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, God. I forgot that they signed Okafor.
Kenrich Williams.
Good Frank question.
Frank Jackson.
Now, Frank Jackson, that dude can score.
And
Frank Jackson was like their project D-League player for many, many years.
So how much of a done thing, like how much of an orchestrated thing do you think this is to just get him to the Lakers?
I could see it being 20% get me out of here, 80% get me to the Lakers. Uh-huh. The fact that this comes out right now, specifically.
Is what makes you think it's a Lakers-focused thing?
Lakers-focused thing. Okay. But, like, he hasn't, like, stated his clear team thing. Like, he hasn't been like, oh, I definitely want to go here. Because here's the thing. The team that probably is clamoring the most to trade for him right now, because I don't think the Lakers feel any pressure.
Right.
The team that's clamoring the most to trade right now for Anthony Davis, give me your guess.
Let me put this together. It would be a team that would want to take like a step up.
Yep.
To really, that is already a playoff team.
Oh yeah.
But wants to really like weird the contenders.
Yes. You know exactly which team wants to take a step up and has wanted to take a step up for the entire time they've been in existence.
In existence.
Yeah. They've always been a step below.
West or East?
West.
They've always been a step below. Portland?
Yep. Nope.
Houston?
Nope.
Ooh. Denver?
The Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh my God. Sure. Right?
Like, I can just imagine Steve Ballmer like calculating what it would cost to get Anthony Davis on the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. They can sell him so hard for a year and a half on just like being on the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think he wants to be on the Clippers, but like, if they make a better trade offer than the Lakers, which I don't know if they can, but like, you know.
And if I was the Clippers, I would take the risk.
I absolutely
would. Take Anthony Davis for a season and a half for sure.
Oh, yeah. For any amount of players on that team. There's no person on that team that I would not trade for Anthony Davis.
Well, obviously what the Pelicans want is a straight up trade for Danilo Gallinari.
Womp, 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 womp.
Tell me who you're putting together for the Clippers then.
SGA, who has been a very, very good rookie this year.
Okay.
All right. Montrezl Harrell. All right. Oh boy. Now, okay, we're running out of the business.
Okay, here. I'll give you other names. Gallinari.
I mean, like the salary.
Is this Tobias Harris?
That is Tobias Harris. That's the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So the three of them and draft picks. I don't know if that beats because like the only like really young with room to grow piece is SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
But Harrell and Harris has been playing well.
Harris has been playing great.
So the thing is that I actually think this is a better trade than what they could get from the Lakers. But
for right now, yes.
For right now, Harris comes off the books this year. But I feel like the Pelicans will be under pressure to produce Harris and Harrell have produced more than the Lakers players have.
Yeah.
But the Lakers players are probably better known.
Yes.
There's always that element of like, look who we got.
Look at this. Look at us. We're preening after our trade.
We stole their young talent.
As opposed to
we took two very solid players who are actually having great years that are playing better than any of the Lakers offerings. That's not as sexy a thing to sell.
No, it's not. I mean, nothing about the Clips are ever going to be sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, except for those.
They got Gortat.
Balmer sideline dances and that Boban John Wick glow.
So Johnny Chang emailed us and proposed some destinations for them. One of them, I believe, was the Blazers.
Yes. So his top three.
These seemed like they were independent of like whether or not these teams could actually do these trades.
Yes. That's just like where he wants to see them. And we want to say thank you to Johnny for the awesome email. Number one, he said Portland. And I think Portland could be a really good destination for Anthony Davis, because I think that he's a real natural pairing with Damian Lillard.
There's probably not a world though where they would keep Nurkic and do that.
No, Nurkic would probably go out because Anthony Davis doesn't quote unquote like playing center.
Right.
Right. So, you know,
I'm saying if I was the Pelicans, I'd probably want Nurkic.
I mean,
to come back.
I don't want Nurkic anywhere. You know I have a negative opinion of Nurkic.
Yeah, but he's playing well.
He's the Nurk. He's Nurking it up. Nurk City. I got nothing for Nurkic.
It's just like, so it's, you know, if I was the Pelicans, I don't think I'd be happy with just give me CJ McCollum and his boring-ass podcast.
Yeah. I mean, or you could also take Evan Turner and his boring-ass play.
No. I'm not taking Evan Turner for nothing.
The trade seems like it would be hard to make because CJ McCollum never feels like a piece that you're like, ah, yes, hell yes. He's like a guy you're like, oh yeah, he's a good fit in this place.
But also not at his salary.
Not at his salary, not anywhere. Not like I don't ever think of CJ McCollum as a guy who's like, oh yeah, that guy gets me excited. I think of him as a guy who's like, yeah, that guy is solid. And I like am happy that he's playing well and he's in a good
fit.
To me,
his best world is like, as a, you know, if I could get him on a cheap contract and have him be my Klay Thompson or Bradley Beal, like the player, like even I'm not super excited about having, I'm never first excited about Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
When I see a Warriors roster.
Yeah. I am because I'm insane.
Yeah. But so I don't know.
And also like poor Klay Thompson, just like, because Klay Thompson in my mind is definitively better than CJ McCollum, but they have different skills too. CJ's got more off the dribble game than Klay does.
Yeah. Klay's off the dribble game is
the fact that he doesn't dribble.
Yeah, but he was forced to in that Celtics game.
Yeah.
And it was
interesting, huh?
It was he got fouled a couple times and I was very happy he got fouled because it seemed like almost like if they had just left him, he would have missed the layup sometimes.
Yeah, that's like how I play.
Yeah.
Second team that he wanted to see,
Phoenix.
So, he said that it'd be a good pair with Ayton and Booker. And here's the thing. There's no way that they accept a trade from Phoenix without either Ayton or Booker in that trade.
Right.
So he's not going to get to play with, both of them, but like maybe one of, I don't know. That's a real tough sell.
Also, like, we don't really know if Booker is good.
Yeah, nobody, you don't know if Booker's good. I mean, he's the guy who's scored the most points in the NBA since 2006, so.
Is he?
Yeah.
You mean in one game?
In one game.
Oh, yeah. Right. I thought you meant like cumulatively.
Oh, no, not cumulatively.
I just wanted to look up Booker's contract because this
he is crazy to me. He got his extension, if I recall.
Oh, never mind. It starts next year.
Got it. Yeah.
He's making $3 million this year.
Yeah, because he was like the 15th pick or some shit like that.
But next year he'll be making a cool 27.
Ooh, get it, Book. And then the last one was the Kings. And God, would the Kings love to get Anthony Davis. I'm sure they're also in the process of being like, how can we trade for Anthony Davis? But I don't see their pieces as being as valued around the league as everywhere else. And you know why? Because they don't get the publicity that the Lakers do, right? It's like if you were to definitively say, like, okay, the Lakers have more potential in their young guys than the Kings, I think you might be wrong. Right? Like, because yeah. I think Fox has shown that he's got more potential than Lonzo. I'm just saying that here.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield has really turned into something. He's definitely better than Hart.
Uh-huh.
I feel like
who else are you counting the young guys like?
Marvin Bagley might have already shown that he's more impressive than Kuzma based on like percentages and PER.
Right.
And then like Ingram don't have a good comp.
Is Willie Cauley-Stein a young guy?
Yeah, but also no. I don't know. I'm not super high on Willie Cauley-Stein, but I don't know if the Lakers young guys are actually better or actually have more potential than the Kings young guys. But you know,
yeah. The main question is who would they
get rid of?
So let's see. If I was,
and then they don't have a LeBron to like be like, oh yeah, this is the backbone of our team,
right?
The young guys are their backbone.
I'd want Fox for sure.
Okay,
could I get Fox and Bagley?
I mean, I would do that trade if I was Sacramento, but I'd feel sad about it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one. So. Yeah, getting Anthony Davis on that team without giving up the players that you want to see him play with is tough. And I also, there's something about like mentoring a player who's directly behind you that's not really an NBA thing, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like the mentorship kind of angle would be like an older guy like Dirk mentoring a younger guy like Luka.
You mean that like it doesn't actually happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing that they talk about a lot where they're like, oh, why don't we have, you know, this guy's would be great in the locker room and he can really show this young point guard how to play the game. And then inevitably the veteran is like, no, I still want to be a player in this league.
Yeah. And especially like superstars, like the people who play behind them just play less. So they don't learn. They don't get that on court.
Yeah. And they're not doing like, you know, stay with me after practice. They're not de facto coaches.
No.
The only rare times that I feel like this happens is when, and I mean, I can think of like one hand,
Robinson and Tim Duncan.
Well, yeah.
But then they both played.
Somebody who has completely established their career and is just hanging around and having fun. So
I would say like the Vince Carter retirement tour.
Yeah. Vince Carter is having a blast and like putting no pressure on it. Nowitzki's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But more often you have situations like, I mean, you're Carmelo's, where it's very hard for these guys to, I mean, think about the way they've been treated since they were 13 years old.
Yeah.
And then suddenly having to become humble like the rest of us. That's not a thing that a normal person could do.
Yeah, yeah. Humble like the rest of us. I mean, I'm so humble.
I mean, you and I at our most arrogant could not approach the lowest levels of humility that like probably a G leaguer has.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right. I mean, because like they have been treated with as gods since a young age and they kind of are like physically they like can do things that we can never do.
Yeah.
Actually I heard a little bit of the Stephen Curry Woj podcast.
Okay.
And first of all, maybe the second most boring podcast on basketball in the world is the Woj podcast. just because the way he asks questions are so... he does a thing where he packages the potential answer into the question. So he'll say like, Steph, you know, when you came up and you know you weren't like a big, highly you know touted draft prospect, was it tough for you to like, you maybe not go in the first round? Or did you feel like, you know, you kind of had to put it together and really... To the point where the person's just like... Yes, that.
which is wild to me. He was selected seventh.
Yeah, or whatever it was.
I don't know.
But Steph did say he's very aware of the fact that he's more relatable to people because his main superpower is something that everybody envisions they could do.
Yeah.
So because he made a point of like, there's a lot of physical things that other players do that an average person can't, and even I can't, as Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, but I can envision myself taking a one-handed shot from half court.
Yeah.
I mean, I can envision it, and like it'll go to maybe like the free throw line.
Yeah. But we can all shoot a ball.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can make that shot every once in a while. That's true. And when you make that shot, it counts for 3 points the same way it does when Steph Curry does it.
Damn, I never thought about it that way. So, I mean, I guess my expected value on the court is like 1.5 points per shot. It's either in or it's out.
If you only take one shot.
That's right. That's statistics, baby.
And the other tidbit that I thought was interesting for that was that he didn't have his like 25-foot range, he said, until his third year in the NBA.
Whoa.
And that he was nervous about shooting. He was basically shooting them very well in practice, and he was nervous about doing them in the games because if he had a run where he was only hitting like 20% of them, that people were going to get on his...
Yeah.
Like, criticize him for
it. Yeah, definitely.
So he basically had to get it to like...
I mean, because he was changing the league.
Yeah.
By taking those shots.
Yeah. He had to get it to a point in practice to where he was like, okay, I think I'm going to start doing this in games.
Yeah.
By the way, Bagley, Fox, Cauley-Stein, Hield for Davis works.
Works. Wow. So I guess you trade everybody for Anthony Davis to Sacramento, and then he's not staying, you know, at the end of his other year.
What's great, though, is it's fun to have another free agent or whatever, you know, personnel story in the league.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing for everybody to talk about. It feels so early because...
Oh, yeah, because it's not even February
yet. Well, so this announcement, when you say it's Laker-focused, means, like, it's probably February 23rd, right?
Yeah.
The trade deadline?
Oh, so, the trade deadline is before the All-Star game. Oh. So I believe it's around Valentine's Day.
Okay. Oh, that feels earlier than...
Yeah, they changed it because they wanted it to happen before the All-Star game.
Ah. So there's this window right now when it could happen.
Sorry, deadline this year is the 7th
of February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So it got moved up another week.
So what is it? We have like 10 days then?
Yeah. Okay. Well, wow.
So we have 10 days for this to happen.
I mean, I'm sweating bullets now. I didn't know it was, oh boy.
So it's not an early announcement for this deadline.
Oh, wow. You guys, I'm sorry. I just got all hot and bothered.
Yeah.
The trades, man, they're, oh boy.
Okay. So either something's happening by the 7th.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, we'll continue to talk about it, but nothing will happen until June, whatever it opens. Yeah. Is it like the last day of like the day after last game or something like that? When can you make another trade?
You can make trades after.
And then there's a little window between that and free agency opening.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So, cause like you can trade people who are on contracts, but if their contract is expiring, you can no longer trade them.
Right.
But like a player like J.R. Smith with his like, $3 million team option, he can be traded at that $14 million price point and then be waived for the $3 million.
Okay, so here's a practical question.
Great. I got an answer.
KCP.
Yeah.
He's 1 year, $12 million.
Yeah.
Until February 7th, he can be lumped in with that to try to get up to Anthony Davis's salary.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen by then, and then the day after the season, his salary is $0.
Correct.
And he's no longer a member of the Lakers.
Correct.
So
how do the Lakers trade for...
Well...
They just don't have to match salaries anymore.
That's not true, is it?
No, they don't, because they have no... They just have to renounce their free agents, and then they trade the young guys for the one guy.
So wait, if they make a trade after the season's over, they don't have to be within a certain percentage of Davis's salary?
If they're under the salary cap, which they will be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Right, see, right now they're over the salary cap because of the exceptions that they signed players
with. But the day after they lose Rondo, they lose...
Well, that... And so, like, that's...
Like, they lose a bunch of salaries to get under the cap.
Correct. And they have to specifically renounce those salaries so that they no longer have the cap holds on their books for the year after. Because after a player becomes a free agent, you get a cap hold based upon his bird rights for the next year.
Uh-huh.
And if you renounce that player, that means the cap hold goes away. So you can go under the cap by renouncing cap holds. But you can stay above the cap by keeping those cap holds on the books.
Does that affect your ability to re-sign those people?
Yes. You can no longer use your bird rights to re-sign them, but you can re-sign them for values under the cap.
Okay.
I mean, or for an exception.
They probably were not going to use bird rights for any of these guys.
No, they were specifically not going to use bird rights for any of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not worried about that. That's why, like, in the season, you have to use these guys' salaries to match salary, but out of season, you don't.
Okay.
So, I mean, and all the players that they would actually want are still there. So, like, KCP is a salary filler this season. Uh-huh. In the offseason, you don't need to use that salary filler because they'll be under the cap.
Right. So, if New Orleans was insane enough to be like, the day after the season's over, we'll trade you Anthony Davis for Svi, which is a $25 million contract versus 1.4. But yes, because the Lakers, by taking on the $26 million contract, would still be under the cap.
Yes.
They can do whatever they want.
Yes, they can.
Okay. So that's what's going to happen.
But see, in the summer, that's when the Celtics have their trove of draft picks and right, all their young players, and then can do it with the Kyrie stuff.
Well, so this is coming up sooner than you think. So how much pressure do you think the Lakers are under to get this done before February 7th?
I mean, how much pressure?
Or like, how
like,
do you...
Like, okay, here's the thing. Like, on Mercury, right, the like the number of G's that there are is like much higher than on Earth, right? Like Mercury is like a real gravity planet.
Yes.
Like Venus is a gravity
closer
planet.
To the sun? Does that make it more gravity?
Truly, I'm just throwing out stuff here. What I mean to say is they're under a lot of pressure. Like it's a huge amount of pressure because one, everybody expects them to do it, right? Two, they really want to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And three, if they don't do it, what the fuck are they going to do?
Right.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
That's the pressure.
Okay. Now I'm trying to think of what I think is actually going to happen. I think that I just have this feeling that Magic and Pelinka will hold on to Ingram more than the other four.
Okay. Which I feel like he's the worst fit.
I agree. I think that there's something enigmatic about his physical gifts that keeps making you want to think that he's going to be like Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think he even really plays much like Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I have that feeling. We've heard the thing. I've heard rumors. People will say rumors that Lonzo is the one they really want to keep.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good fit. Kuzma is a defensive question.
Yes.
And Hart, I think I love Josh Hart, but I think he's like
he's a try hard on defense, right? Like he doesn't always make the right move, but he's like he's showing the effort. But like, is it actually
good? Yeah, I think Josh Hart's fine. I don't think Josh Hart is transcendent in any direction the way Kuzma, Ingram, or Zoe is.
Yeah,
in a way that he can become a truly like special, irreplaceable player.
Yeah, but like you know, don't you need like role players to like win championships, bro?
Sure, sure. You can get those for pretty cheap.
Okay, I have an idea. I have a plan. We play knockout.
Okay.
With all four Lakers.
Okay.
All four baby Lakers.
Okay.
Actually, we could play five
with Zubats
because he's actually good at free throws. We'll play knockout to see who gets to stay.
Okay.
Right. That's it.
Well, Zoe's out then.
Zoe's out. Okay. All right. First one gone.
I mean, if you're playing knockout, I could see Kuzma winning that.
Oh.
But let's talk about this. For that, you also have to include some of the like Chris Paul summer campers.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Because okay. You know, the only time you ever see anyone playing knockout is with like three summer campers in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see Kobe like knocking out six of them.
Yes. 100%. At one time.
Yeah.
Somehow he's found the sixth ball. Man, I want to play knockout. I miss knockout.
I don't intuitively know the rules to that game.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah, I haven't played a lot of it.
All right. So
we each have a ball.
So there's two balls and a huge line of people.
Uh-huh.
First person takes a free throw. If they make it, then they pass the ball to the third person lane. If they miss it, the second person.
If they can make a free throw.
Yeah.
Before the first person makes a basket.
So if they make, they get to take a free throw first.
Uh-huh.
But like as soon as you've taken a shot, you just have to make any basket. Right.
Okay.
And if a person behind you makes a basket before you do, you're out.
Okay.
Right. But the first shot you have to take is always a free throw or like a 3-pointer if you're playing with people who are like actually like playing knockout. And you can use your ball. You can't like hit another person's ball with your hand, but you can hit it with your ball. So like if somebody takes a shot, misses it, and you're like, oh God, they're going to get the rebound, you can hit it out of the way with your ball.
So if they're about to take their free throw, you can.
You cannot.
You can't throw your ball up there?
You could throw your ball. You can't hit it out of their hands, but you can throw your ball up there to try to get their ball to make it not go in.
And also, if funky rebounds go in whatever direction, yeah, you can grab any ball.
No, got to grab your own ball.
Oh, yeah. See, it's more complicated than I thought. I like 21.
21's fun.
Yeah.
Are you a go back to 15 or a go back to zero kind of guy?
When you miss?
When you go over 21.
Oh, exactly. I think I'm going to go back to 15 guy.
Okay, yeah.
Only out of, I don't want my whole afternoon to be taken up by it.
It's fair.
You know. Well, I mean, are there any other destinations we should talk about?
People are saying the Knicks, but also like, what the fuck do they have to trade if they're not going to trade Kristaps?
There's really no way for the Rockets to do it. Is that
correct? There is.
What's the way?
Clint Capella.
Oh. Why wouldn't they do that?
Well, you might need to add those four first rounders.
I mean,
but also like,
do it. Like, I don't know. Like,
is that enough for the Pelicans to say yes? I'm saying like the Rockets could do this, but I don't know if that's enough for the Pelicans to say yes. But anything would be centered around Capella.
And did he just sign a new salary?
He just signed a new deal. 4 years, $90 million, something like that.
Okay, let's
4 years, $70 million? I can't remember.
Quick little add. I got to add $6 million to make this work.
Okay,
from Houston.
From Houston? Okay, yeah. Because he's making 17 a year?
He's making 15.
15, okay.
And
15
Davis is making 25.
Got it. Okay, then, yeah, I don't know, fucking...
P.J. Tucker.
No, they would not get rid of PJ Tucker. They refuse to get rid of PJ Tucker.
For Davis?
Yeah, they think that he is the guy who makes their team run, who's not Paul or Harden.
I mean, sure, but like...
But also, like, do you want PJ Tucker on the Pelicans? They don't want him. They want other players.
Who do they want?
Joey Cheese!
I don't think he's not on the
team anymore. That was a joke.
See,
I'm funny. I make jokes.
Okay, let me
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Let me give you the other choices.
It's Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon's at $13 million.
What a fun journey it would be to go back to New Orleans for old Eric Gordon.
Yeah,
you traded twice in giant blockbusters.
Which B Knight is this? Brandon?
It is Brandon Knight. Yeah, he is not a valuable asset. Which
Nene? B-Knight?
It's Bobby. He's
actually
Knight.
On a decent contract.
Yeah, it's Bobby Knight.
Uh-huh.
We're trading Bobby Knight. He's good at throwing chairs.
In a chair, yeah. Marquez Chris?
I mean, you know, not an asset, just James salary.
Ennis the third?
Not an asset. Small contract, 1 year.
Bird Gerald rights. Green?
Not an asset.
They cannot trade Austin Rivers.
Yeah, of course, because they signed him less than 90 days ago.
They cannot trade Fried?
No, they just signed him.
Hartenstein, as you mentioned?
Yeah.
But none of these get them to the right salary. Like, the only people...
I mean, Eric Gordon gets them to the right salary. You just got to throw in Etuan Moore on the Pelican side.
Yeah. Sure. So, anyway...
You got to do is just throw in Etuan Moore. Just Houston, throw it in.
Houston should absolutely do it, and I would consider rooting for them if they did that.
Oh! Because, like, yeah, that team is a good team if they trade for him, but
that's
also,
an exciting
like,
team.
Is that happening? I don't know.
Yeah. And then, you know...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they would definitely mortgage those four first rounders because they would have thrown him for Jimmy fucking Butler. I mean, I say that with all due respect.
But right. I mean, Davis is better than Jimmy Butler.
in a much better fit.
Like, there are actually zero players in the league that I can definitively say are better than Anthony Davis. Definitively say. I can have a discussion about it.
Okay.
But, like... Clear cut better than Anthony Davis. To me, there are zero players in the
league. There's only one, baby, and that's Zion Williamson, who's ready for Zion.
Who, by the way, on the NBADraft.net mock draft, is not even the first pick.
Oh, is Barrett still the first pick?
No, I'll tell you who the first pick is. Someone who does not follow college basketball, Ja Morant is the number one mock draft.
I just pick. Said it.
Yeah.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because the team who's drafting first needs a point guard.
The team who's drafting first needs everybody.
Is that the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed a point guard. I know, because Colin Sexton fucking sucks.
And everybody hates him for some reason. But, I mean, like, you don't draft for position if at number one.
Oh, no, you definitely do, because they already have Larry Nance. They got Larry Nance yeah. Jr., okay?
They don't need Zion.
They got Kevin Love. They got two power forwards. They don't need somebody like Zion.
Yeah. Just going to quickly throw this out there. No. Never mind. I was going to say, is there a world where the Utah would want Anthony Davis?
Yes.
They'd probably play him next to Gobert.
They'd probably have to trade Gobert for him.
Maybe, yeah. You don't think they'd take Derek Favors straight up?
I don't know, bro. D Faves is out of fave.
It's fun to think about Anthony Davis on a lot of teams.
Who drafted Derek Favors? Quick quiz.
Quinn Snyder?
No, who drafted him?
Oh, you mean which team drafted him?
Yeah, which team drafted him?
I don't know.
He was part of the Darren Williams trade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Nets. Isn't that wild? The Nets
drafted him.
Trade knowledge.
All right, well, we could do this all night, but yeah. He's going to Lakers. He'll be there in 10 days.
Yeah.
Two things I wanted to point out. Fun things to look for in your YouTube travels. Look for Steph Curry's warm-up layup where he threw it sky high.
Yeah.
That was very fun. And Kyle Korver inbounding an air ball. Did you see that?
I saw him inbound. Yes. Yeah.
It was truly delightful.
The way that you said it, I was like, how could he inbound Lillard, to make an air ball? No, it was Lillard after somebody
shot a three-pointer. And it was one of those shots where, I mean, everybody on the court thought it went in.
Yeah.
And so Kyle Korver took it and then stepped out of bounds.
Yep.
And inbounded it, was immediately called. And then Jay Crowder just keeled over, collapsed to the floor and
everybody
laughter.
Thought it was very funny. Because guess what? It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I like reminders that, like, none of this really matters.
Yeah. You got any shows this week, my guy?
I believe I'm in Magic to Do Thursday. Ooh. And I believe most likely I'm in Baby Wants Candy on Friday.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that's all I have.
This Thursday night, I'm in two shows. I got Bitchcoin's playing Honeymoon Improv at 10 p.m.
Nice.
At the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake. And then I'm going and making my mock debut at 11 p.m. At the Clubhouse. I'm going to be a guest improviser on mock, which I don't know if you've ever heard of mock. It's a Clubhouse M-A-C-H? Show. Yes, yeah. Where they have a team, they have a cast of like 20 people.
I have heard of this.
And then they like get like 8 people to join every time and they split them all up into 4 different teams that are different every time.
Oh, excellent.
A little interesting improv stuff.
Sort of like an instant mixer kind of thing?
Exactly.
That's fun.
Just like make some friends, do some prov.
Neat.
Find a new person to do some two-prov with around
the city. It's almost like a little bit of improv blind dating.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, which is kind of nice.
If you're over at the Clubhouse, I would like to recommend something I had last night that I had Postmates bring to me, the Fatburger Impossible Burger.
Oh, you're a fan of the Impossible Burger. Have you tried it from Carl's Jr.?
I have, and I enjoy that one as well. That's a Beyond Burger.
Oh, it is. It's different. I like the Beyond one better. Oh, no. I like the Impossible one better.
The Impossible one is a little bit better. Also, Impossible recently announced that they are coming out with 2.0.
Ooh, they've refactored the fake
apparently
beef.
It's better. It has...
It's got more blood.
I know. Like, that's one of the...
It truly is exactly what you need. You need more blood. Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. It's a misconception that it's blood in the burger, that the juices are blood. It's not blood. It's just, like, fat.
Yeah. That would be weird if it was blood.
What do you mean?
Well,
you don't drink blood?
If it was, like...
You don't
eat this
blood?
I'm eating this because I don't want to eat animal products, but good thing it has
all this fucking cow blood, baby.
cool, man. Well, go see those shows. And I mean, our next episode will probably come out on the February 4th. At most, two episodes are going to come out before this whole thing's resolved.
Yes. And yeah, we are excited. It's going to be, I mean, you know how ridiculous this is? You know what happened last Thursday that we didn't even fucking spend 1 second talking about?
What was it?
They announced the All-Star starters.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just say this. No surprises.
No.
Everything seems fine. I'm excited to watch LeBron be LeBron in the draft and Giannis to just be the most awkward and hilarious dude.
Yeah.
Excited. I think next week we'll probably talk more All-Star stuff because the reserves are getting announced this Thursday.
Unless Davis gets traded.
And then, you know, we'll talk about that. But I promise we'll get some All-Star talk next week because All-Star weekend, that's my mecca. That's like my weekend.
Where is it this year?
It is in Charlotte. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Because Seth is in the... Is Steph doing it too?
Seth and Steph are doing the 3-point.
Right. I'm hoping that Dell does it as well.
Dell's going to do it. They're bringing him out of retirement to do it. Nice. Sonya's going to do it.
Yeah. Aisha should do it.
Aisha's doing it.
Tim should do it.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Their uncle. He's gonna put his lipstick on, his high heels.
He's gonna put the stroke in 3-point stroke. Sorry, Tim Curry. I love you, but you had a stroke.
Oh no! Oh, I laughed at it. Oh no! Oh, I'm having a crisis of conscience. Oh no!
He's fine.
He's not fine. He's not. He's only doing like voiceover.
Yeah.
Some point,
and everyone's gonna die at some point, including us and including this episode.
Bye. Bye.